In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus comes to John to be baptized, to reveal the presence of God in the world by his baptism in this way. And John says to him, Lord, I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me. And there is so much in these first words of St. John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ. God came to us. That's what needed to happen. We were unable, because of our fall, from sharing in the grace and the holiness and the goodness of God, to be as we were created to be. The grace of God, we said recently, is not, as it's misunderstood in the West, some kind of foreign spiritual power, some power foreign to this world and ourselves that we live in, that just kind of flashes out of the sky like a pagan god, flashing his divinity into a world that is distant from him and other than him. That's not our understanding of grace, we said. Our understanding of grace is that the grace of God rests in his world, in the world of his creation. His divine energy is present in the world, and that is his grace. It is by this presence of God in the world that we know God. It is by the grace of God in all things that are beautiful and good and wonderful that we know God in this world. It educates us to be able to recognize God and what is good and holy and beautiful, and tell it from what is not good or holy or beautiful. The grace of God is present in the world that he created. And the grace of God is meant to be the life of a human being. We live by the grace of God. Good grief, how long will it take until, when we hear that expression, we live by the grace of God, we don't think in those legalistic terms, where that would mean, you live by my grace. I can destroy you at any time. Your relationship to me as your God is that I am the lawgiver and you have broken my law. And occasionally I deign to give you something special, but you don't deserve it. That's the nature of the grace of God as Christianity is understood in the West, and it is false. The grace of God is the grace of God present in creation. The grace of God is the life that we have of God in ourselves, that we were given in the beginning, that we lost, and that was restored, was returned to us through Christ. And it is for the purpose of giving us that life, that regeneration, that renewal, that Christ comes to John the Baptist to be baptized. God came to us, just as Jesus came to St. John. God came into this world. He came and took on our humanity. He took on our flesh. And he changed the meaning of our humanity. He changed the meaning of our flesh. That's why he came into the world, in order to do that. He changed it by restoring it to how it was created to be in the beginning. And if that life is the life that we want, then we should be baptized into his life. If that life is not the life that we want, then we should flee the waters of baptism. We should flee the chalice. We should remain in the world. We're not ready to cut ourselves off from our love of the flesh, our love of the lusts of the world. There is a difference between the two. We can't have both. God is not mocked. We may think that we are putting on a good front, a good show for the world, keeping our love of the world, our lust of the things of the world, even while we reject the cleansing of our flesh that God made possible by coming into the world and being baptized into this life. He enters into our flesh and he is baptized in these waters. Now, I mentioned the other day, having run into in the explanations of the gospel by the Blessed Theophylact, this expression, steeped in Christ. It fascinates me. Steeped in Christ. We are called to be steeped in his life, to let his life penetrate us. When you make a cup of tea, you take the tea, you put it into the water. It's all about the quality of the tea. Whatever quality that tea has, it goes into the water. It changes the water. Before you tasted it was water. Now you taste it and you taste the quality of that tea. That quality of that tea goes everywhere throughout that water. That's how it is when Christ is baptized by John in the Jordan. And what quality does he have? The one who is fully God and fully man at the same time. God's divinity and our humanity are already one in him. And that is who and what is baptized that day. And it changes baptism. It makes it an entrance into a sharing of the qualities of God. Sharing the qualities of God through Christ, who is God and is also fully human just as we are. That is our calling. Now, when we are baptized into these waters that we especially prepare so that they are the baptismal waters of Christ, the waters that he has been baptized in, and change those waters into waters that are clear and pure and holy and draw out the lack of virtue, the sin, the suffering from us, if we desire it. Synergy is always essential. This isn't an automatic process. If the energies of God are present in the world, and that is his grace present in the world, there is a synergy between God and the whole of creation. Creation responds. Human beings are the only ones, the only things that can say no. We don't want to participate. We want to be on our own. I would like to be like you, but by myself. I would like to pretend that I am God. I would like to make a big show in front of others so that they think that I am more important than I am, especially because I am cut off from you, and look at me, how great I can be. Look at the things that I can do. It's all about me. Nothing else in God's creation but human beings can do that. Synergy is essential, and synergy with our baptism is essential. This life is our baptism. It is not a once and done sort of thing where we would like to think of it back in those good, comforting, legalistic terms where we get something special and then it belongs to us. Something has happened to me. I have been saved. I have been baptized. I am orthodox. I've got all these things. And then you go back and you live exactly the same life that God came in order to draw out of us by the waters of baptism. God is not mocked. He sees. He knows. If we are dishonest with ourselves, then we're simply lying to ourselves. But we're not fooling God. And we don't fool those others who have given their lives in order to be drawn into the life of Christ. They see through that. It's foolish. So we are baptized into these waters. And if we cooperate with the presence of the Holy Spirit in the waters of our life, and here I mean not just the waters that we are baptized in, but the water of the life that we live, because I'm saying our life is a baptism into Christ. We are meant to be immersed three times. What does it mean? It means our baptism is permanent. It's ongoing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we are baptized. What? For some special event? No, for the whole of our lives. It's ongoing. Our life is meant to be the life of God through Christ in us. That's what we are baptized into. It's ongoing. The whole of our life is our baptism. And sometimes we defile our baptism. Sometimes we live in a way that is foreign to God. We are called to live a godly life by God's own power, by His grace, by the presence of His grace running through us. And sometimes we defile that life. No, there was an emperor that when he was an infant was immersed in the baptismal waters, and, well, the thing that every parent fears at that moment happened. He defiled the waters right there, and for the rest of the time of his life, even while he was emperor on the throne, he was known as the one who defiled his baptismal waters. It sounds better in Greek. But as my grandmother used to say, better out than in. I won't go into the details, but you get the idea. Better that that have happened, and that this uncleanness that is within us is expelled, than it be retained within us to pollute our mind and our heart and our soul, so that we can go about in the world thinking ourselves Christians and acting like those for whom God is foreign. Those who want to be God without God. Those who want to be God without turning away from the lust of the flesh and the love of the admiration of others and the love of power and the love of a great show. Better out than in. Get rid of it. Come to confession. Confess it. Leave and don't go back to it. That's what we're told. We heard from St. Paul's letter to St. Titus this morning. Titus had a relationship to St. Paul similar to St. Paul's relationship to Timothy. Not completely. Timothy was very special. But Titus was certainly a trusted emissary. He was baptized by St. Paul, brought into the faith by him. He was taken by St. Paul down to Jerusalem and had to do with the controversy over circumcision. Titus was brought into the faith without circumcision, because it is the circumcision of the heart that is essential, not the circumcision of the flesh according to the old covenant. He was sent by St. Paul to Corinth with the letter that we call the second letter to the Corinthians. St. Titus was having difficulties with the church in Cyprus that he had been sent to, similar to the difficulties that St. Timothy had had. First of all, of course, the Judaizers. And what was that about? Making a show in the flesh, St. Paul says to them. Wanting to be considered the most important people. When somebody walks into a room, you immediately know who's important because of how they dress, because of how they act, because of how they carry themselves. That's what they wanted, and they did not want to give it up. And it had absolutely nothing to do with the Christian faith. And also these Gnostics. The church in Cyprus was even more difficult than the church in Corinth, because there was this Gnosticism. Now, what is Gnosticism? You can spend a long time talking about it, but basically what it boils down to, a Gnostic could walk up to Jesus Christ and say, you and I, we are the same. I am God, just like you. That's how important I am. That's what Gnosticism is really all about. We are all divine. Why? Because they wanted to make a good show? Because they wanted to be considered important? You know, all of this is silliness. You know, we have an idea today in America where we're so concerned about putting all faiths on the same level that we consider them as alternative realities almost. And if you believe in this, well then, that's your reality, that's who you are. But the fact of the matter is that this kind of belief is simple foolishness. It's based on something that has no more depth than the desire for the Judaizers to be recognized as the most important people in the room. It's based simply on vanity and passions and lust for the flesh and the desires of the world. It's not based on high and wonderful great things. We can't elevate ourselves to the level of God by acting like that. It doesn't matter how many books we write, like the books that the Gnostics wrote. So that was the kind of difficulty that Titus was having. He was eventually made bishop of Cyprus. And basically, what Paul told Titus, what we heard him tell him this morning, is you must immerse yourself in the salvation that is our Christ. You must immerse yourself in the life of Christ. The life of Christ. What does that mean? It means the grace of Christ. It means it's possible for a human being to live at one with God through Christ. We've seen the saints. We know it's possible. That's what we're called to. When we don't do that, we have to go and confess that we're not doing that. It's not something that we have to accomplish on our own, after all. It's something that Christ has already accomplished. We can't somehow learn how to be like Christ by study. Okay, I will start to do it this way. I'll think about it and maybe change my approach. That way we still are absolutely in control. But we can immerse ourselves in his life and begin to experience and express the humility of a human being who lives in the presence of God. That's what we are called to do. And we have the capacity to do that. And we have the capacity to confess when we're not living in that way. And we have the capacity to see those particular moments in our life when we are not living that way and go and confess them and reject them, repudiate them, better out than in, and go and live the life that we have been given to live. A life immersed in Christ. We are called to make our homes into places where our children can be steeped in the life of Christ, not in the life of the world. We go and we baptize our homes. We call our homes little churches because they are the places where someone can grow up steeped in the life of Christ. Not steeped in my life. Not steeped in my shortcomings, my problems, my difficulties. But steeped in the life of Christ. And we can only do that if we bless our homes and dedicate them to the life of Christ that is going to go on in them. We are baptized into his life. Our life is baptized into his life so that we can live a life that is filled with the fact that the presence of the Holy Spirit has interpenetrated everywhere through us by our baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.